So this is Nick Williams talking to Beverly Glick. Hi, Beverly. How are you?
Hi, Nick. I'm very well, thank you. And thank you very much for speaking to me today.
It's a pleasure. I know your work, you know, personally for a number of years, for 3 years or so now, and I've benefited hugely from it. And there may be people that are hearing about you or coming to visit you at your website who don't know much about your work. So I thought it'd be useful for me perhaps just to ask you a few questions to help people understand you better. So that's the purpose of this conversation. So you stand for story, you love story. Why do you think story is so important?
Because story is who we are. If you think about it, we can't really exist without telling a story about ourselves. Story is the way we make sense of the world. It's how our brains are wired. We're storytelling animals. We can't really live our lives without framing it as a story.
So to you, story is the fabric of life, that idea that the universe isn't made of atoms, it's made of stories.
Yes, I absolutely love that quote. Yes, the universe is made of stories, not of atoms. And that makes sense to me, because everything that we do, we frame in a narrative. Our whole life experience, everything that happens to us, we make sense of it and we make meaning from it by the story that we tell about it.
So we all do that anyway. So is part of your work helping people become conscious of how they're doing that, even if perhaps they don't even realise they are doing it? Is that what you intend to help people do?
Yes, absolutely. A lot of people don't even realise that they're inhabiting a story in the first place.
Right. So that's crucial then.
It is.
Because, you know, where you're coming from is everyone's telling stories, and a lot of people might say, well, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
And you're kind of holding up a flag and saying, well, actually, yes, you are. What I could help you do is become more conscious of the story that you
are
telling.
Absolutely, yeah. It's about becoming conscious of the stories that you tell yourself so that you can then step into your authorship, into your authority, so that you become the authority in your own life.
So, like in therapeutic terms, would that be a bit like a consciously chosen life story or a consciously chosen life script in a way?
Yes, in a way. Obviously, this is not about fictionalising your story. This is about taking the events of your life and finding new meaning from them. Because whenever we're recounting the story of our lives, it's always from the perspective of where we are right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
We all think that we can rely on memory, but memory is not reliable as we think. Memory actually shifts according to where we are right here, right now. So that gives us actually quite a lot of power and authorship over the story that we tell.
So often we will have created a story around particular life events, that kind of idea. So something will have happened to us, often a quite emotional event.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, we created a story. So you would help people go, okay, well, that actually wasn't the facts that happened. That was a story. That was something you decided to make meaning out of.
Yeah.
And can you then, and your invitation to them is to go, well, is there a more empowering meaning that you could make from that story? Is that what you do with people?
That's absolutely right, yes. I guide people to look at their life story in a completely different way so that they're maybe starting to see themes and patterns emerge through the different events of their lives that allow them to create some kind of higher purpose or meaning to what's happening to them or what happened to them.
So it's to get them to tell a more empowering, higher purpose story about themselves and their life events.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And that's not always what people come to me for. They might come to me for something quite practical, like maybe help with copy for their website, for an About Me page, or help with some ideas for blogging or for a talk. But actually what they go away with is something much deeper than that.
Mm. Beautiful. So you think that story can change the world, really, don't you?
I do.
The idea of story. What do you mean by that? Because that's a very big and bold thing to be saying. So what do you want to convey to people by making that statement?
Well, when I say your story can change the world, what I mean is that by owning and sharing the highest version of your story, the most meaningful version of your story, the most authentic version of your story, then that creates a ripple effect. So if you and I both share our true stories, you know, the story as we see it right now, the highest version of our story, then that's going to create a sort of energy ripple It's going to give other people permission to share their stories and have their voices heard. So if everybody on the planet actually had their voice heard, shared their authentic story, I think we'd be living in a very different world.
So it sounds to me like you're also wanting people to shift from probably what would be more of a victim story to more of an empowered story. Is that right?
Am I
understanding that correctly?
Yes, absolutely. I think a lot of us are conditioned to live in a victim story, and the victim is a very powerful archetype, which once we're in the grip of it, it's sometimes quite difficult to see beyond it. But yes, I'm encouraging people to see beyond the victim story that they might have been telling about themselves and about events of their lives.
Mm, that's interesting. Do you think there is a lot of power in telling a victim story, or a lot of power in feeling a victim?
I think it probably feels as if it's quite powerful to tell a victim story, but you're basically giving away your power by staying in victim.
That's the illusion. It feels a powerful thing to do, but
very
actually.
Much so.
You're disempowered by telling a victim story.
Yes.
So your work is about helping people step into a place of true power.
Yes.
Their true power, which, do you assume that power's already in them?
So I do,
not about pumping themselves up or inflating themselves.
No, not at all. I'm making the assumption and I'm presupposing that everyone has their own kind of unique power and grandeur that they need to share with the world.
So there's something pre-existing within them that somehow the story they're telling at the moment is blocking.
Yeah.
Oh, great. So how do you help people in that process if somebody comes to you and they may not be aware of the story they're telling? How do you help them become aware of the story they're telling and begin to tell a different story?
Well, in fact, a lot of the process that I use is very intuitive, but it's also an awful lot to begin with about listening, because what I find is that a lot of people have never even had the opportunity to have their story witnessed before. So if someone comes to me and they're talking to me about their whole life story, that's actually quite a profound thing if you think about it. Mm. We don't often get the chance to look back on our lives in that way. So I hold the space, I do a lot of listening, because I'm listening for the themes, the patterns, the story beneath the story that the person in front of me is not seeing. Mm. And I always say that we're blind to the highest vision of our version
of our
stories.
So you can often see
stories.
Something that you know that they can't see.
Yeah.
So you don't batter them around the head with it and go, what's wrong with you? Why can't you
no,
see the
not
story?
At all.
You're very gently.
Very gentle, very non-judgmental, very much so. It depends how deep they want to go. As I say, some people come to me for more practical purposes. But the people that I've worked with on my VIP days in particular have remarked about how life-changing it has been for them to actually be looking at their life story in a different way.
Mm.
Very empowering and energising.
And you have been 30-odd years a journalist, haven't you? So you've been telling stories, but generally other people's stories for 30-odd years. So tell me a little bit about the transition you've made from journalist to story archaeologist.
Well, what happened there was I've been a journalist for nearly 35 years, and I'd really achieved everything I wanted to achieve in that career. And I'd always wanted to make a move into the personal development area. So originally I decided to train as a coach. I trained as a human potential coach, actually, which was a very holistic form of life coaching. And then once I'd started a practice, I decided I really needed to step up a bit and start talking to people about it and think of it more as a business rather than working for somebody. So that's when I joined your community, Nick, and came along to your group where I met lots of other people who'd been making the same transition as me from one career into another, into much more of an authentic place.
Mm.
And I was originally going to not do any more journalism at all. I thought, right, I'm going to completely reinvent myself. I'm going to be a coach and that's it. And it was you that pointed out to me that actually maybe I could look at all of the skills and experience that I've built up over the years as a journalist and a professional storyteller and incorporate that into into my coaching work. And that was a light bulb moment for me. I hadn't really thought of it like that before. But as you said to me, well, why would you throw away all those years of experience?
Yeah, because you seem to have a tremendous experience in kind of being thrown data and being told, like, find the story here. And that's kind of what you've done for 35 years, is find the story in the information, in a way.
Yes, I had. And I, you know, I was... say, you know, I'm just as blind to my own story as other people are to theirs. I hadn't seen that that's what I'd been doing, because I hadn't framed it in that way. But actually, yes, that's exactly what I'd been doing. I'd been telling other people's stories for years. So I then flipped that around and made it about everybody telling, you know, me telling my story, everybody else telling their story. So it wasn't about me telling the stories of famous people anymore. It was about me helping ordinary people tell their stories, because I believe everybody is extraordinary.
Yeah, and one of your kind of core beliefs is that everybody has a powerful story.
Absolutely.
That's your presupposition, and whenever anyone's talking, you're listening to find that story.
Yes, very much so. Yeah.
So if everyone kind of took on board what you were talking about and your kind of ideas, what's your vision for an inspired world then? How would this help? What would this lead to in terms of a more inspired world for you?
Now, this might be quite a utopian vision, but I believe that if everybody told their story and if everybody's voice was heard, there would be no wars, there would be no conflict, there would be no poverty. I know that might seem right, you know, outside the realms of possibility. But this is I'm not alone in this kind of vision. There's a guy called Dave Isay who runs an organisation called StoryCorps, and they received the $1 million TED Prize this year. And he started StoryCorps to record the stories of ordinary Americans, which is now turning into the biggest archive of human wisdom that's ever been amassed. And I think that if we take that idea and broaden it out, so that there would be no reason why we couldn't understand each other, because if we all knew each other's stories, we would understand that we were all one.
We would understand the universality of each other's experience.
We would
have more compassion for each other.
We would, yes, we'd have more compassion for each other.
Wow, it's a beautiful vision. Thank you very much. Well, I've enjoyed this conversation. Hopefully you have, listening to it as well. Thank you very much, Pamela.
Thanks so much, Nick. I really appreciate this. Thanks very much.
Pleasure.